Amen. Well, good morning. If you're the younger persuasion, you can head off to Children's Church. Enjoy that time. If you're older than like 10, then you should really stay in here, okay? That's just, yeah. You may like Children's Church, okay? That's all right. I did too. today we'll be closing out the series that we've been in. And if you didn't know, again, my name is Michael. I'm the pastor here. And I'd like to welcome you. If you're here in person or online, then welcome. We'd love to connect with you. Leave us something online to be able to do that, okay? and so I was trying to figure out a way, how do we end Christmas series? You know, there's always the Christmas lull, and you know, you got the gifts, and some of them met your expectations, and maybe some of them didn't. Maybe you were hoping for something, and you didn't get it. And now you're kind of in this place where it's a new year, and you're like, all right, or it's about to be a new year. And you're trying to work through some of that. And so I want to help with that as a after Christmas text. I think our text today in Luke chapter 2, you can go ahead and turn there. It's a good text if you're trying to figure out where to go from Christmas. Or just asking yourself the question, after Christmas, what's next? After the birth of Jesus, what comes next? And I think a gentleman by the name of Simeon, who's spoken of in the text today, will give us some helpful instructions of how to move forward. And it's really just a matter of understanding our ongoing purpose. And if we look at the mission of the church, you know, that really hasn't changed since Jesus came and he lived that sinless life for us and he died on the cross and then he rose from the grave. That mission has always been the same. Go and make disciples of all nations, right? So our purpose is here to not only be the church together to gather every week, but to also go out and do something with that, right? So that's in our relationships at work, at school, and at leisure, wherever you go. We're supposed to be fostering this environment wherever we go where we can share and encourage people to believe in Jesus. So with that, I know for those of you who are maybe 30-plus in the room, no offense if you're not, but you probably read things about this. I remember back in 1999 on December 31st where I was, and you know, as a kid, there's kind of scary things going on. You know, I kept hearing the word Y2K. And when I heard that, I had to ask him, like, what does that mean? Like, why are we concerned about this? And so some people would say, well, the clocks don't know what to do. You know, once we hit 2000, well, the computers, they just, you know, they're going to stop working. And I'm like, I think computers were like a recent invention. I don't think maybe we should have made something to make them work past that, right? So, you know, people said things like that, you know, major, you know, utilities and things were just going to stop working. The power was going to turn off. And so I imagine this in my mind, and I was, I guess, about 10 at the time. And so we were actually in a vehicle. We had gone for a New Year's Eve celebration with family, and we get in the car, and I realized we're going to be in the car when it turns the year 2000. And in my mind, you know, just, you know, 10 years old, I was like, this seems like it's going to go bad. I mean, I don't know if, like, you know, the radio towers stop working. And I had imagined it more as like this, like, EMP type of thing that, you know, whenever, you know, the clock turns, you know, of course, we don't know, we won't be able to tell time, we won't be able to understand what the calendar is going to say, the computers will stop working, and our cars will just turn off. And so I'm sitting in the car going like, Mom and Dad, I don't think we should be in the car, like, when, you know, when the year 2000 hits. So we should maybe pull off somewhere safe and just wait and just see what happens. And then, you know, we can get back on, like, they're like, it's going to be fine. And, you know, but as a child, you know, you hear these things of, you know, worry and concern that are going on. And it's not like our times have changed, right? You know, there's wars, rumors of wars, discontentment. There's uneasiness, right, all around the world. You know, you don't have to, you know, look too far or to turn on the news very long to find some of those worries and those anxieties. And I can only imagine after Jesus comes on the scene, you know, what people are thinking, like, what's going to change? They're anticipating something. But yet part of Jesus' purpose was that he had to come and live that life for us, right? So there's going to be some more time that was going to pass. And so luckily, you know, I was watching, like, my watch intently, and I was like, 2000. Nothing happened, right? Everything stayed the same or continued to progress at least. And so new things happen, right? And so as we're looking forward to a new year, I want us to think about some of the things that Luke had to say about this gentleman named Simeon, and the things that lead up to this as well. So we'll start in verse 22 of chapter 2, and the first fill in the blank is coming from the law, coming from the law. Can you imagine kind of a more difficult or confusing time for God's people. Jesus has just shown up on the scene. People are still trying to understand this. This has really only been revealed to a select few. And so Mary and Joseph are just sort of carrying out what they are supposed to do. They're following the law. And so they're for us, as we read this text, helping us understand how to bridge the gap from the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, to the New Covenant. Mary and Joseph haven't just thrown aside everything. They didn't just say, well, we have Jesus, so we're not going to fulfill the law still. We're not going to still do the things that we're still required to do. And so we'll see that they do that. They have a respect for the past, but they're ready to move forward, right? They're not going, we're scared, we don't know what's going to happen. Well, Jesus is on the scene, so some good things are going to happen, and people are going to acknowledge this as well. So it says in verse 22, when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought up him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And so this was in accordance with the Leviticus 12. About a month after Jesus was born, you were supposed to bring the firstborn son to the temple. You had to pay to make that sacrifice, so either to buy the animals, you had to bring them with you. And so Mary and Joseph, they're fulfilling what is expected of them, what they're supposed to do according to the law. And they're not just throwing everything to the wayside. And so then we get into the next couple of verses that kind of help us understand, like, where do we go from, you know, God's people who were waiting 400 years from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and then Jesus shows up on the scene, and people's perspective begins to change. So in verse 23, it says, as it is written, the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Now, when you read this, this isn't like, you know, your ticket to be like firstborn. I knew it, you know. And so the Bible uses a lot of this kind of language, and especially culturally as well. The firstborn would have been given the, basically the keys to the house, you know, when the dad passed away. And so there was a lot of responsibility, there was a lot of right, and there was a lot of this dedication for that firstborn male. Like we want to put a lot of stock in this individual because they're going to be the next patriarch. Right, so this was an important role, and we don't see this as much in culture anymore, but I think there's some things we can still learn from this, and so you can check out Exodus 13 as well. That kind of helps us understand, like, why was this instituted? Why was this set up? Well, we see all these reminders in the Old Testament of, like, festivals and offerings and sacrifices, and all that was to help God's people go, okay, God is still there, he still cares, he's still real, and he's still doing things, right? So this is all, again, a reminder. Now, also, what did they not have? Like, before Jesus came, before he lived that life for us, before he died on the cross and was raised again, and then said the Helper's going to come, and then the Holy Spirit came, that was that missing piece. And so we'll see here that Simeon actually had the Holy Spirit, the presence of God on him. And so that kind of changes everything. But that's the first part of that. Then in verse 24, we see kind of the second part of this understanding of the Old Testament, how we transition from, yes, fulfilling the law, to now going, what does our perspective look like with Jesus on the scene? Like, what Simeon's going to use the word, I've seen salvation itself. And so it says in 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Again, if you look at Leviticus 12, so this was the requirement. So why is that important? Maybe it's not. But when you read this, I began to do a little bit more study, and like, because we always read this and we're like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, two turtle doves, whatever. Pigeon, not a big deal. We don't have to do that anymore. But when you start to think about these requirements, and remember, Mary and Joseph had just had to take this long journey. It's not literally got like, you know, I know I talked to some of you, and you're like, oh, we get a week off, or we get 2 weeks off, or get like a couple of days, or have to work remotely, and about all those conversations about work, because we anticipate having time with family. Well, when Jesus came and the government instituted a census, they had to take, all that time, like to travel, they had to get to the place they were going. Then, okay, where do we go next? All right, well, we got to make sure we come and offer this purification for Mary and for the baby Jesus. There's a lot of time wrapped up in this and money as well. And so when we read this, I went back and I was like, I wonder how much time, how much resources God's people had to devote to festivals, to sacrifices, to regular offerings. You know, I know we come in here and we're like, man, it's it's been tight, right? I mean, inflation, you know, all this, like, you know, and I always pray for us in this regard that we continue to be faithful with our offerings, you know, but we kind of shudder at like, oh, 10%, wow, I mean, that's a lot, right? And so as I began to study this and all the things that were required, like Mary and Joseph, you know, like they just had their first baby, they're not sleeping at night, right? They're taking care of baby Jesus and like, we got to go offer the, you know, now the offering. When I looked this up, it was pretty much on average that God's people, the Hebrew people, would have to devote about a third of their income annually to sacrifices, to fulfillments of festivals and gatherings that were just like standard. I read that. I was like, wow, that's staggering. So how do we understand this, changing our perspective? And this is not a message on tithing. I just thought this was interesting. As we go from the birth of Christ to Luke chapter 2, and Simeon gives us this perspective, Luke prefaces it with, and they were doing what they were required to do according to the law, and we kind of just glance past it. But there was a lot of requirements. There was a lot of rules, and there was a lot of expectations on this young couple. And we get to the second fill in the blank. So that's coming from the law, like understanding where we come, like how Jesus transitions and changes things for us. So the second thing is waiting with confidence. Well, so, you know, how was Simeon doing this? How do we do this? This is all wrapped up in the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is interesting. You know, you don't see a lot of places in the Bible where you've got like two or three parts of the Godhead present, the Trinity. But here we're going to see two. So Holy Spirit was present, and Jesus, little baby Jesus by himself, was present there. So it says in verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So how did he do this? How was he waiting? Well, we're going to see what the narrative of his story is, that he was expecting this because Jesus or God himself revealed it to him, right, through the Holy Spirit. And we see here that he's got this presence on him, right? And it's something that all of us walk with. And I hope this is something that we think about as well. You know, we always read these stories like in the Bible, we're like, wow, the Holy Spirit was present, you know, with Simeon. So God was speaking to him. And then, you know, we walk out the door and it's like, you know, wow, I wish I knew what God wanted me to do with my life. And, you know, wow, I wish I knew what he wanted me to do in this relationship. Or, wow, I just wish I understood. But yet we have direct access to God. So here's a guy who had access to God, and here's what takes place. And before I read that, I always come across this quote by Augustine, and when it comes to this verse, this time of the year. And Augustine said this. He said, "The just Simeon saw Jesus with his heart." Isn't always interesting to us that, and you know, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus and what he's done for you, then there are things that we recognize as believers. There's things that we see. There's things that, you know, God speaks to us that, you know, it's not like, you know, God's like peering out of the clouds and he's like yelling at us. So there's this audible, you know, hey, you, yeah, you, I'm talking to you. No, but what does God do in our hearts? He's speaking to us and he's telling, I want you to go. I want you to do this. Or I want you to stop and talk to that person. And we know when it is, we just like to ignore it, right? No, God's not talking to me. No, I think that was for that other person, you know, beside me, right? So, but he's using him and he's speaking to him and he's giving him some encouragement, and specifically when he gets to see Jesus here. So in verse 26 it says, "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." So I love this word here. It says, "And he had been revealed." In the Greek it's the word chrimatezo, and it means to be divinely commanded, admonished, or instructed. And I think, yeah, there's different periods of our life, times where, you know, like, I need to hear, you know, from the Lord, and or we're asking for certain things, or we're like waiting on an answer. Sometimes the answer is no, or wait, or, you know, just ask and then wait for me to give you an answer. I always love that one. It's like, you know, I'm just, you know, I need to know now. It's on my timeline, God, right? So, but when it says here that it's been revealed to, I was thinking about a conversation that I had with Alana one morning, and, you know, I always do our quiet times in the morning. It's like, you know, if it doesn't get done then, you know, I don't know if it's going to get done. So we're sitting there, we're talking, and we were talking about how, you know, God communicates to us. And Alana was like, I want to know things about God. I want to hear from him. I'm like, well, that's good. You know, he speaks to us in a lot of different ways. And then she gets down on the floor on her hands and her knees in the middle of the conversation we were having. And I was like, Alana, what are you doing? And she's like, shh, Dad, I'm waiting to hear from the Lord. I said, okay, that's good. I don't know what you're waiting to hear, but he might be speaking that through maybe me, or whatever you need to hear, or maybe your mom, or maybe a friend at school, or, you know, and so there's all these different ways that God speaks to us, and of course, reading our Bibles, and praying, and asking God for guidance, and so it's the same type of idea, like, you know, we think these characters, these people who are so central to the biblical story, and who had the special presence of the Holy Spirit, are so far away from us. You know, it's like we read this, and we're like, man, I wish I was like Simeon. I mean, he had Holy Spirit, you know, and God, he revealed something to him, but yet God can do this every single day for us. So, yeah, I love that, Holy Spirit. So he was directly revealing something to him, and that there's this specific idea that and a lot of times too, we just go, well, I'll pray generally, but I just don't know if he's really going to answer that. I don't know if he's going to say something specific to me, and then we don't expect it, and then of course, you know, we're not expecting something, we're not seeking something from God. Then how is that going to happen, right? So we need to be specific, right? We need to go, God, I need your direction in this. And this is laid out specifically for Simeon, that before he saw death, he would experience something, that he would see the Lord. And that's exactly what happened. So we go coming from the law and then waiting with confidence. How do we do that? How do we approach the Lord? How do we wait, you know, for him to fulfill things that he's even revealed to us that might take months or years? Right? We don't like to wait, but I can only imagine how long Simeon waited, a guy who this was revealed to by God himself. And here's the last thing, operating in the Spirit. And so this is possible for those who have the Spirit. Again, you know, there's not this expectation on anyone that has not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ to operate in the Spirit. Right? This was unique to people who in the Old Testament and leading up into the New Testament before the Spirit came, who had the Spirit before the day of Pentecost when the Spirit fell, and then now everybody got it when they put their faith and trust in Christ. So there was a special thing taking place, though, that there was peace through the Spirit. Now, we're about to enter a time, I was talking to our deacons about it before we got started in praying, and we were reminded that we have a few hours left in 2023, and the context of that conversation was that January can be difficult, right? You know, we're coming out of, again, the lull of the holidays and time with family and maybe too much on the credit card or what, you know, whatever you want to put in that fill in the blank. Things come due, right? The beginning, the first of the year, whatever that is. And then we just get like bogged down again, right? We get depressed and we're like, we're looking for hope again. But yet Simeon was a guy who was waiting. Again, he was waiting for the Lord. He was waiting for this consolation of Israel. And he had something that we all have access to. So here we see that he has this peace of the Spirit. And it says in verse 27, and he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. And, you know, this word here, if you see it, the Spirit, the word in the Greek, the pneuma, it's throughout the New Testament, it's always referring to the third person of the Trinity, the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. And so there's really, I know some people have debated this in the past, but there's really no debate here what Simeon is walking in. He's walking in the Spirit and the presence of God. And then 28, it says, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said something. But I wanted to look at this word here for blessed, because again, we get really confused, you know, even especially this time of the year, like we like, you know, send out the Christmas cards, that's good. You know, we all do that. You know, there's a picture of everybody smiling, hopefully. And then there's a message, or there's like, you know, hey, this is what's gone on this year. It's kind of like a, you know, time to recap with people, time to see how people have grown, right? Especially for kids. And this is what he says here. He took him up in his arms and blessed God. And it's this word here in the text, eulogio. It's where we get a word for eulogy, to celebrate or praise or commemorate or bless. And, you know, we've seen that done many times in a funeral or memorial service setting. But yet this is something that Simeon was anticipating, and then he blessed God. Now, I wonder how he was able to do this and how he was able to have this perspective. And sometimes it can confuse us when we walk in here and we're like, you know, we're singing a song to the Lord, we're worshiping, like, you know, we do every Sunday, whether it's the hymn or the contemporary music. And and we're like, man, you know, I feel better. I feel, you know, great. Like I'm walking in, I feel like I'm walking in peace that I didn't have when I came in here. And so a lot of times we, you know, we look for, again, it's almost like that Sunday morning fix, right? But that's not what it was about for Simeon. He was walking in the Spirit, you know, when he came in the temple. And then he's able to, it says here, bless God. And he said something interesting. He said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. And this was the word that was spoken to him previously. And the word here he used, there's a couple different words for word in the Greek New Testament. And this particular one is important. It's the word rhema, and it means the spoken or living word of God. So Simeon was spoken to in advance through the Holy Spirit, not only through the Old Testament, through the prophecy, but through the Spirit speaking directly to him. You see, the people in this time, they didn't view God's word, they didn't view God speaking to them as like lifeless or unimportant, or like they just something they had to do, like we had to come go to church on Sunday morning. I guess, you know, we'll maybe hear something from the Lord, but this was deep and impactful and intense for Simeon. He says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. It's almost like a God thing, you know, thanks for sharing that with me. I'm glad I got to be a part of the process, and now you're fulfilling this. I'm not surprised by that. And so Simeon, he's walking in this peace by the Spirit. And I just wonder, as we read this, instead of maybe thinking that, you know, again, this is we can't have access to this, that we can't walk like somebody like Simeon was walking. Why could we not? Why could we not be encouraged to be encouraged by the Lord and be spoken to him like during the week, and then we come here, and instead of like, and I've seen this for so many years, you know, working in church and ministry, that Sunday morning at times it can become like this this fix or this encouragement. It's not that we do need it. We do need to be here, but it's not so much about like us maybe getting recharged as it is about us going like, God, I am confirming what you've said. God, I understand what you've told me this week, and now this is just this this double portion, if you will, or this increased sharing or confirmation. Like I feel like when we come in here, walking in the Spirit of God, this should again be a place of encouragement, but confirmation of the things that we've already known or already been told or already, you know, experiencing. And I always tell people, you know, they ask me like, you know, what does the Bible say about that? And I'm like, well, you can. Yeah, you can look at it. Sure, I can give advice, but I wonder what we're learning and how we're growing individually, like before we even come to this place, you know, on a Sunday morning. Or again, you know, so we get to Monday and it's like, oh, Monday, you know, I can't wait until we get to be together again and be with the church family, and that's good. But why are we thinking about that? Is it about fellowship? Is it about being recharged? Or can we get up on Monday morning, I wonder, on this new 2024 that's coming, and not think, oh no, you know, another year, there's all these terrible things that I'm going to have to deal with, or go, wow, God, I wonder what you have for me in this new year. God, through the Holy Spirit, which you've given me, would you communicate those things to me? Would you help me understand that so that as I walk with you daily, Sunday becomes this continuation of this experience and this relationship that I have with you and this fellowship with the family of faith. I think that was Simeon's perspective, in particular because of the word that he used here. And then in verse 30, it says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. So he's experiencing peace through salvation. The word here, soterios, just means saving and or bringing a future hope of salvation. Simeon was hoping for to see this, to see the baby Jesus. He can you imagine this great responsibility? I mean, I can't, you know, I've had three kids, so, you know, as an infant, obviously, you know, you're like, okay, careful, you know, don't drop them, don't, you know, don't go over there, don't fall, you know. You're always like, you're trying to make sure, right? And my generation's more helicopter parents than the previous ones where I know that, so I acknowledge that, all right? But still, you know, you're like, I got to take care, I got to be careful. Can you imagine being handed the Savior of the world? Simeon is there. He's like, you confirmed it. And he seems very confident. He's not like, oh, I don't know, what did I do with the baby? He takes Jesus and he blesses God. And it's almost like this, you know, it's like this celebration moment. He's like, all right, God, you did what you said you were going to do. now I can move on. And he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. So before it was this hope, right? It was this hope through what the Spirit had already told him, but it had been confirmed, and there's this physical representation of Jesus. And this word's used a couple of times throughout the New Testament. You see it in Luke 3:6. It says, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Acts 28:28 says, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. Ephesians 6:17, and take up the helmet of salvation. And Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Simeon's like, it's here. Incarnate, in the flesh, fully man, but fully God, here to save the world. And he recognized it. And in verse 31, it says that you have prepared in the presence of all people. And there's this phrase here, you have prepared. It's the word hetetemezo in the Greek, and just means to prepare the minds of men to give the Messiah a fit reception for secure blessing. It's kind of a long, like it's like a phrase, but so there's this long explanation for it in the Greek. But Simeon, he's basically just saying, hey, salvation is here. You set it up in advance. God, I'm not surprised. You know, it's like we have these in these moments where it's like, oh, wow, God did that. And we're like, I didn't think he was going to do it. Right? Or he actually answered that question. Or, you know, he gave me direction. I'm so surprised. I can't believe it. You know, God is so amazing. And it's not that we shouldn't be amazed by God, but when we read this, like Simeon is walking in full confidence in the Spirit, that he's walked in the temple and he's basically dedicated Jesus here. He's continuing to say like God, you did this. You've already prepared it. You already established it. I'm not surprised you did it. Like if we were in there, we'd be like freaking out. Like, oh my gosh, can you believe that Jesus in the flesh is here? And Simeon's like, I knew it. Not surprised by what God has done. He's prepared in the presence of all people to be revealed. And then in verse 32, it says, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. So peace through this light. It's interesting we were talking about light today. Andy, thank you for sharing about that. So a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. So there's a few last things I want to make sure that we don't miss. And Matthew Henry's commentary, I like that Andy quoted from it this morning. It says, he has a pleasant prospect concerning the world and concerning the church. This salvation shall be. And he lists two things here in his commentary. He says, a blessing to the world and a blessing to the church. So Simeon has, he's blessed God by just confirming everything. He's already been told. He's like, I know what happened. God, you fulfilled all these things. And as we think about what that means for us, this light, or it's the word phos in the Greek, it means a heavenly light. So God sends Jesus, and Simeon sees through his spirit eyes, and we've all been given that in the room if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus again. And so we can see things, and we can hear things, and we can operate in a way that's not just in the flesh, right? It's not just I'm going to do what I want, all you know, for whatever makes me happy. I want to actually consider like what God wants me to do. I want to understand what that is as I'm walking. And it's almost like, you know, these glasses, like I don't know exactly what you call that, but there's something like, I'm trying to think of the word, you see, it's augmented reality. And that came out when like I was, you know, I was like a kid and it was like this new thing, like augmented reality. Like you just put on the, you know, the glasses where you can see certain things. It puts it on a screen in front of you. And so for us, it's not even like, where did my spirit glasses go? I can't, I left them in the car, right? Like regular glasses. I can't see. It goes with us, right? So Simeon, who's walking in the spirit, wasn't going like, where did it go? God, I don't know what's going to happen today. He walks in confidence. He receives the Lord. He blesses God. He understands what it means to be coming from the law and then waiting with confidence to actually have all these things confirmed and then to be operating in the Spirit. Like if we, you know, if we could manage to just take a few things away from this, I think this would be one of those that we recognize it's a blessing to the world, right? That Jesus came. So option, I mean, for all people, right? This was the message that was given that we've been talking about for really this entire month. And it's a blessing to the church. Why? Because God's instituted this this open session to all people, right? Anybody can be involved. Anybody can be a part of the church. It's not this singular club devoted to one ethnicity or people group. It's available to everybody. And it's good news for us. And I'll close really with this. I want to look at one more word. He says here, so a light for revelation to the Gentiles. This is, again, being given to us, being revealed to us. It didn't, like, come from ourself, you know. All this New Age thought, like, I am my own God, right? I come up with my own destiny. I send the light beam out, like Andy was talking about. And then people were like, that doesn't work. Like, light from the sun, that was really cool, by the way. 16 minutes to get from us. You know, we're like, it's instant. No, it's not, right? Speed of light. But yet, God gives us the light through his son Jesus and then imparts to us the Holy Spirit. And he used this word here. He says, and for glory to your people, Israel. It's the word doxa in the Greek. It means the things belonging to God. So God already setting up in advance, establishing his kingdom. Yeah, people waiting for 400 years. And then Jesus comes and Simeon confirms all this in the Spirit. He's like, oh man. Great things are coming. Blessing for the world, blessing for the church, for God's glory and for his people, right? I mean, that's the best news that I can think of as we go into 2024. Instead of all the, you know, the anxiety and the worry and the, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody does, right? Are the lights going to turn off? I don't know. Nobody knows that, right? Are the cars going to stop working? No. I was just a little kid being scared about things he heard, right? But for us, you know, we can walk in confidence. We can walk in the Spirit like Simeon did. And I'll close with this too. This is just a simple challenge. You know, we should be thinking about this on a regular basis. This wasn't a surprise to Simeon. He walked in the Spirit. So can we. We can walk in confidence and peace with that. But imagine you had the cure to the worst disease that the world has ever known. And I'm not talking about the other word. I'm not going to mention, right, a thing years ago that was supposed to be the worst thing ever. But now we're just going like, maybe it's not that big of a deal. And then when I think about the worst disease, like if we had the cure, not a vaccine, not a temporary patch, right, not a Band-Aid you put on, but salvation for the whole world. If we had the answer for that, for this destructive disease called sin in the world, then why wouldn't we want to tell somebody about it? And so I want to challenge you just in this new year as we walk in confidence with the Spirit and in peace and like somebody like Simeon, like we're really not too far away from these biblical characters. We're not so far removed that we can't operate in a similar way, right? We just go, God, I need your help each and every day. Thanks for asking. Let me give it to you, right? God is ready to do that. And so in this season, maybe we would just be challenged like, God, ask that scary question, what do you want me to do? Not what are my goals for this year, not what are my hopes, you know, what do I want to accomplish? God, what do you want me to do next year? What's going to happen? I don't know. But God, would you reveal that to me? Maybe it's just that I get the opportunity to share the cure to the worst disease known to man, the sin of the world, which God gave us very easily, right? You don't have to go and get it from your doctor or pharmacy. It doesn't come at any cost. It's free and it's available to us. It's in God's word. And the Bible tells us, if maybe you're wondering, you're here today, you're online, and you're wondering, how can I get that cure? How can I know God? How can I walk in the Spirit? What's as easy as this? Admit you're a sinner. Everybody is. Sometimes I have to do that daily. And believe that Jesus is God's son and acknowledge what he's done for us on the cross. He came as a little baby, but as we close this series, we realize, wow, there's something more to this light that He's entered into the scene, and he's changed everything. And Simeon saw it, and he's like, I've seen salvation. So if you believe that, like what Jesus has done for us, the Bible says you'll be saved. And that's really all there is to it. Continue to walk with him in godliness and get connected to a church. That's my hope for you, if you have not. But I'll close with this, just a prayer for us, and so we can bow our heads and close our eyes. And maybe if you're here and you don't know what that's like, you have not ever had access to this type of confidence, this type of peace that the Spirit brings through knowing God, maybe we wouldn't be God. Maybe we wouldn't be like people who are so scared and worried. But God, maybe we would be like these people, like this person, Simeon, who walked in confidence right after Jesus entered the scene as a little baby. How did he do this, God? We know he was walking in the Spirit. And God, the amazing things that you do, not that we need to fall on our faces, although we can do that, each and every day to get that word or to wait in a quiet place until we hear something. God, we know that you speak to us, and you can all day long. God, we know it's just a matter of seeking you, walking with you. I pray that as we think about, you know, this mission for a new year, that it wouldn't be filled with anxiety or stress or depression or pain, but that it'd be filled with hope. What you have for us, God, if we're here, we don't have to worry about what's going to come. We know you've already written the story, and so we pray that we would walk in peace and confidence in the Spirit, and we thank you that you give us that ability. And it's your name we pray. Amen.